Joe, you're on with Dave and Nikki.
Joe.
Hello.
Oh, I like the English accent. Hello.
You know, it was pretty close, wasn't it? I bet you thought we were from York.
Right?
Up in the Northland. You, hey, where are you? Are you over in England now? Are you in stateside? Where are you at?
No, I'm West Coast. Yeah, stateside, West Coast. Yeah.
Yeah. Are you on fire since you're on West Coast time?
We are on fire right now, let me tell you. No joke there. You know, smoky, air quality not good, ash falling like snowflakes. How to those, you know, those firefighters. They got their work cut out for them.
In a big way.
Yeah. Man. Well, you stay safe because that's a scary situation.
Huge prayers. Wow. Joe, you know what? We got a lot to dive into in a short period of time. And first up, we got a lot to talk about for your new Super Nanny show that's going to be coming out. And what we want to talk about first up here is people do have questions that we know you have answers for. One of our guys, we were talking about this with their daughter.
Yes. So one of our coworkers has a 2-year-old daughter. And he asked me the other day, he's like, how did you break your kids from the bottle habit? Now, his daughter is 2, and she still demands a bottle at bedtime and is waking up at least once overnight. My kids were sleeping through the night at 6 months, so I can't give him any advice on this subject, but I know you can.
Oh, you, Nikki, you gave one of those braggadocious, like, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
My kids exactly.
just kept them out the night.
There's no help.
No, I can't help you.
All right. I will tell you this. I'm going to explain it to you, but for all of you that need it said again, if you go to joefrost.com, you'll see a technique there called bye-bye bottle, right? And that technique is how you will wean. However, what I am going to tell you now is this, is that most people use the bottle, and I know you're going to go there as in an adult form, right? But most people use those bottles as the pacifier to get their kids to stay in bed and to stay asleep. And that's why your coworker is getting up in the middle of the night to fill that bottle up, because it's keeping the child in the bed asleep. So there's two things that's going on. You will hinder a child's speech and development if they're walking around hanging with a teat around their mouth and not talking properly because they have a bottle always. Secondly, the mouth will start to arch and form from carrying and sucking on that bottle all day. Thirdly, you need a sleep technique. And in this case, I would look at doing the sleep separation technique, because the bottle now became a bad habit to pacify the child, to stop them from waking up and then wanting to come into the bedroom, then not wanting to sleep. So you wean through the day and then you wean in the morning, taking the bottle, and the last one to go is the evening. And it really is, you make your mind up to do that in the evening and then you follow through with that technique. So there are several, like 3 stages of being able to recognize wean during the day, then take from the night, and then implement the sleep technique. All viable, all easy to do, as long as you have made your mind up that that is exactly what you're going to do and you execute and follow through. That literally will take you one night.
Hey.
Wow, that's awesome.
That is. You know, we know the Super Nanny would know this. Yeah. You know, Joe, another thing pointing you in this direction is a campaign that we've been doing during the school years, and it's called Stand Up to Bullying. But we've got kind of a unique angle on this because we've covered a lot about people who are being bullied, kids, students being bullied. But we're talking about parents who they know they have a bully as a kid.
Yeah.
We talk about that.
And how do you deal with that? Because that's, I know parents who've been through that, and it's really hard on them.
I think also the parent has to look at the child's behavior, because I think there's a disconnect in parents wanting to admit and look at themselves in how that has a reflection on children. So raising your children with good social conduct, raising your children to have more empathy and not being spoiled brats, raising your children to understand what kind of an environment they're living in has a reflection on a parent. And you can't disconnect the two. But most parents will, from embarrassment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're quick to own a child who's being bullied, but not to have a child because it's a reflection on themselves. yourself. And at some point, it is about responsibility as a parent. So when you have a 9 or a 10-year-old that's being mean, that's being bullying, you've got to look at yourself. You've got to recognize, well, what kind of an environment? You know, am I arguing a lot in front of the children? Am I very controlling? Am I putting the children in a position where I'm pacifying them because of my own circumstances? Do we teach enough empathy? Do we teach enough? Do we show these children what it's like to be able to care about what somebody else feels and how it has an impact on them? Because you will see a child that behaves that way and know that they've come a place of wanting that power and that dominance over somebody else. And when you look at the environment, there's a lot of tweaking that can be done with the parental teachings of a family as a whole. But there is generally always a disconnect. The parents will sort of, you know, think it's not them. Kind of like on the Super Nanny shows, right? Mm. You know, they say, call me in for the kids. And then you say, yeah, but can I make you look at yourself for a moment? And they're like, me? And well, yeah, can we just take a look at you for a moment here? Oh, well, I thought it was about the kids. Well, it is, but you're the parent and you're the biggest influence right now. And you're shaping their environment. Oh, I get it now. Right. So again, it's a learning curve, but it's one that I want families to own and not feel shame or guilt, but recognize that this was going on. This is the difference we made. And actually, we've taught our children to be more respectful, to have more empathy, and to be kinder. Because it's the only thing, if parents all come together and recognize, it's the only thing that I believe is going to make a better world for us to have more empathy in it. Because bullying is real, and it does happen every day, and it's emotionally scarring for those, you know, for those children that are on the receiving end. And it's a no-win situation, because a child who bullies is also a child that's very hurt, is also a child that's in pain, is also a child that is using that as some form of leverage to feel in control of their own life. So it's not a, you know, it's not a win-win when you look at this situation, because both parents need help, but at two different ends of the spectrum. So I hope that helps you in me answering the question that way.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great answer to that question. And it is something that we've been talking about for a long time, is the bullying thing. And we actually have talked about kids who have been bullied. And there is a huge, like you mentioned, a huge emotional scar on those kids who have been bullied. What do you think that parents should do in that situation where their children are being bullied?
I think it's important to give an avenue for the child to feel that they can trust. You know, I have been very vocal about zero tolerance in schools. I do not believe that it is upheld. I think that a lot of schools become run like businesses and they do not honour a zero tolerance. But I also feel that the government needs to step up with an initiative that helps support these families in the early years to prevent this type of behavior. I think a parent needs to be able to validate, be of a space where a child trusts that they can talk to the child and to be emotionally supportive for them. And I would say that with social media now, it doesn't just happen at school and then you come home and you feel that you're in a safe environment. Your home environment feels invaded energetically because you can be on social media hearing that. And I say control it, like switch it, like cut these people off, block them, remove them, and take that toxic energy out of your life. The, you know, the FOMO, the fear of missing out, has nothing in equation of the fact of emotionally what somebody will continue to repetitively do that we know is bullying to another individual. So you've got to take grasp of that. And anything on social media, you remove, you cut out, you know, and that is something that parents can do, you know, in being able to help that child, because most kids want to try and learn how to deal with it with having to look at it every day. You know, when you're being bullied under those circumstances, you're very fragile. You know, it's a very fragile situation, a very upsetting one. So, you know, allowing a child also to recognize, I think with older children, I think it's important for them to recognize, you know, where that other child is coming from, you know, so that they understand that, you know, it's not personal. It feels personal, but it's not. It's another child who's hurt. It's another child, you know, is using that, you know, lack of in their behavior or disrespect to choose to behave that way. But certainly, it's tough and it's there and it's always been there.
Joe, last time I talked to you on radio, you mentioned some of this, and it's one of those things that really actually adults can use all the time, because I'm a photographer and there's a lot of people who are very critical of pictures. Whenever you post them online, they'll get, you know, they'll go ahead and they'll just be hateful towards a picture and you'll wonder why. And sometimes I've said, do you need a hug or something like that? Next thing you know, you find out they do need a hug because they're coming from a place of just being they are spewing hate because they're dealing with hate.
True. And as an adult, yeah, as an adult, you know, you can comprehend that. But for a child, you know, it's the last thing you want to do is to lean into somebody who has completely made you feel, you know, the way that you do emotionally. However, I think it's important to kind of bring perspective to that so that they can understand that, you know, and to create those boundaries and focus on yourself. You know, you can help your kids focus on themselves and that mental strength and, you know, recognizing that they're there. And it's a tolerance right now that should not be tolerated. You know, the child is tolerating it mentally and learning how to take care of themselves with the support that they're being given. But I do want to see schools step up. You know, don't tell me you're zero tolerance when you're not. You know, don't tell me you're there to support the family when then I hear from families that they've had to change school. You know, and I do want schools to step up and mean what they say. If you're zero tolerant, then see it straight away, because kids need to feel that they can trust an adult. And if kids go to a teacher and nothing is done, what does that show the child? That they can't trust an adult. Then an adult won't take care of something like that. That is emotionally detriment to a child. So again, it is about the responsibility of those that help our children thrive to step up and mean what you say and say what you mean. You know, and I want to see that follow through with action.
Super Nanny is going to be on Lifetime. It's September 22nd. Joe, you know you're the best, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
I try to do what I can do for families. I keep trying.